next election in 1998. And we're still fighting the political fight on this issue. But we also learned our lesson. Mike Harris was reelected. And we started putting, we didn't abandon the political side, but we started to put more emphasis into policy influence on this particular issue. So what is a policy approach? Party work, doing work with the opposition parties as they develop their platforms around the issues on education, and we spent a lot of time and effort on the one around class size. So in that way, not only are we doing the policy work, but we're also influencing the policy choices that are made on the political agenda. We also started gathering more evidence, as you did last night, listening to Kim about her research, and we try to reestablish the ground that good public policy is good politics. So I want to talk a little bit more about the issue of class size. Oh, here's another joke for you. It isn't a reunion, it's a class size. I don't have the cartoons in my notes. So what's significant about this issue? We heard clearly and with great evidence last night for Kim that a lot of it is about the student-teacher relationship. It's about the ability of teachers to focus on students as individuals. And I'm going to mention this part a little bit later, too. It's also about the ability of students to be able to engage with their teachers. And it's also about the capacity of teachers to attend to student engagement, student success, and student frustrations. As Kim put it last night, learning requires caring. So why is the issue convincing? It's convincing because of research, because of public perception, because of our professional judgment, because of parental pressures, and also because of student experience. Let's look at research. Kim said, I'm not a researcher. Kim said last night, the research has to a certain extent been a little bit mixed over this, but what we do know is there are significantly better outcomes for students. There are clear indications that not just class size, smaller class sizes, but class sizes of students under 20 improve student achievement. Smaller class sizes mean greater improvements also for minority students and students in inner city schools. But we had, just as the school year opened this year, we had a report from the C.D. Howe Institute about class sizes. And that report was what researchers, a word that I've come to like almost as much as the expression building capacity, is meta-analysis. What C.D. Howe did with that September report is they gathered up all the previous reports on class sizes and put them together in one report. And researchers call this meta-analysis. And it's based on large-scale studies, and it's also based on, and they're very clear in this, they talked about the cost-benefit analysis of smaller classes. Now, does that sound familiar from Mr. Harris before about cost-effectiveness? C.D. Howe Institute makes no apology for the fact that that's one of their driving factors. But what they did, what they also used was, and a lot of the studies on class size look at a measure of success as large, from large-scale student achievement tests. That's what they want to see influenced by moving up and down class size is student achievement. But that doesn't focus on the classroom experience of the individual students. It's a big picture thing. It doesn't give you a sense of the quality of what's possible with smaller class sizes when all you do is correlate it to student achievement. Because we also heard last night from Kim that that's not the only measure of success. We want to look at the whole child. But what is it that's convincing about, oh, there's my little comment on the cost effectiveness from Oscar Wilde. He knows the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And that's what happens when all you do is look at cost effectiveness and large-scale student achievement tests for looking at the value of small schools, small classes. So why is the issue convincing, and why can we get the public and everybody? Parents are here. Parents are here because they're concerned too. Why? Let me just give you a little glimpse of some recent advertisements in a publication for private schools in Ontario. If they're marketing it in private schools, there must be something there, right? It's a major marketing thing. What about parental pressures? Parents, we've been doing some research about a whole bunch of things, and you learn things that inform other things when you're doing research. And one of the things that's become very clear to me in other research that I've been doing is, I don't know if you've heard Michael Adams from Environics Research talk about social values and talk about their social marketing research, but there's a growing sense of individualism in our society. Parents care about their kid first, and they should. They're parents. And so they know intuitively that smaller classes are better for their individual child because somebody's going to recognize their child as an individual. And that's the important message from teachers, from parents. It means that every student will have more of the teacher's time and attention. It's also our professional judgment that's involved in this. We know what it means to have a smaller class size and what we can do for every individual student in our class. Kate last night talked about her own experiences as both a teacher and a student and her experiences. I must admit that I can't remember the size of my classes when I was young in elementary and secondary school. But I do remember when I first started school, but I started school in England, we used to have classes like this room where the primary grades were in each individual room, but sometimes during the day the walls would come down and we'd all be together. I think that this is a bit of an aside. One of the things that I find that's a current issue of mine is that in Ontario our schools were organized in the 19th century for an agricultural society. And a lot of the things we do in school are still based on the premises of the 19th century with an agricultural society. And I think that we need to do some more thinking about how we organize our schools and what we do. One of the things that's perplexed me is that we know that adolescents have a different circadian rhythm than grown-ups. But we have schools in Ontario that make adolescents come to school at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's with bus schedules. It has nothing to do with the kid, it has to do with organization. So, but the other reason why it's convincing has to do with student experience. And we heard a lot of that last night from both Kate and Kim. And the research that I mentioned before that we're doing, one of the questions that we've been asking people in focus groups around the province is to tell us about a teacher who made a difference in their lives. And not everybody has one, but the majority of people do. When we talk to teachers and we talk to others, and although there are lots of people who just want to tell you about this amazing teacher they had in music in grade 10, or this wonderful kindergarten teacher they had in their lives. But the one thing that's consistent across all of those stories that we've heard is they talk about the passion of that teacher. And they talk about the attention that teacher gave them in their lives. They don't talk about, boy, we had this great math test that I just loved. They talk about passion and commitment. And they talk about what it felt like to be in that person's class and how that teacher made them feel about themselves. So that kind of thing you need from class sizes. That's easier to do. So we had another election in 2003, and we had a party that ran on a platform of choose change. And it was also run by a party who wanted to be seen as the education party. And there was all kinds of change. There was a change in attitude, change in the respect for teachers and for education and for students. Kids matter, teachers matter. So what is the policy issue? The impact of class size on student learning, and not just student achievement tests, but student learning. It's a hot button issue. Parties love it, but there's lots of evidence that it's an important thing to do, and we have to continue gathering evidence. There's Kim, I don't know if Kim's still here, she would have a better sense of this than I do, but there's very, very little Canadian research on the impact of class sizes. And the composition of our classes is very different than most of the classes that were looked at in the United States. But what we have to bear in mind is that everybody looks at this issue from a different perspective. Parents and students look at it from individual and personal experience. And as teachers, you know, that we look at our own classrooms and we look at our own school experience to inform this issue. And researchers and policymakers look at the larger scale. So what's different now in Ontario? We have a government that supports publicly funded schools. Education has had an increase in its budget, in every budget this government's brought down, at a time when they're cutting costs. Provincial government in Ontario transfers about between 80 and 90% of its revenues is transferred to what they call their partners. So the government can actually only control about 20% of its budget in terms of discretionary spending. So for education to have increased its budget when it's in competition with healthcare and other things is remarkable. Of course, it's not enough, but it's still remarkable. It's a government that supports teachers. They did away with the dreaded PLP, the Professional Learning Program, the Teacher Testing Program. They're putting more money into their students at risk, and we're looking at other issues around special needs students. And they've just established a support mechanism for parents. It's kind of weird, but at least their heart's in the right place of that. But the big thing that's different is that while class size is still outside the scope of bargaining, there are hard caps. No more of this averages, no more of this aggregate stuff. There are hard caps in law on class sizes from kindergarten to grade 3. 20 or less in kindergarten to grade 3. The target goal is 2007-2008 to have every student in kindergarten to grade 3 in a class of 20 or fewer students. Now there are other challenges around this, lots of challenges. During the Harris years, lots of our schools closed. So we've run into logistical issues around these smaller class sizes. There just aren't enough classrooms and schools to accommodate the smaller classes. We've got a lot more split grades in order to manage the numbers. And there's pressure on the junior grades, and that we're working with the government to prevent the junior grade levels from skyrocketing in order to hit the hard caps on kindergarten to grade 3. But ultimately, the government's focused on students not saving money, so education is not paying for the deficit or the debt in the budget in Ontario, at least up until we have another budget coming in March. We'll see how that goes. The other thing that I can't talk a great deal about is that we've had provincial framework agreements in the collective bargaining, so the tone of collective bargaining changed over the last year, too. So we have fundamentally an atmosphere that allows politicians, policymakers, and educators to work together to improve education and make things better for students. And I just I have a couple of slides here with some reporting on it, and these numbers aren't from the government. These are from the People for Education Tracking Survey. And this isn't what the government or the school board says was poor class sizes. This is from parents reporting back, my child is in this kind of class. So in 1997, 51% of people were saying their kids were in, this is elementary, 51% of the people said their children were in a class of less than 26. From 26 to 30 was 36%, and 31 or more was 13%. Now, in 2004, 68% were reporting that their children were in classes of 26 or less. 28% were saying they were in 26 to 30, and only 4% were reporting that their students were in classes of more than 31. That's an improvement. And here is the situation for kindergarten to grade 3 thrown out by itself. Now this one talks of adds 20 or fewer. In 2004, we had 53%, no, sorry, these don't come out in the right order. 36% are in classes of 31 or more, 21 to 25. 53% are in 21 to 25. And 11% are in 26 to 30, and only 0.5% in kindergarten to grade 3 are in classes of 31 or more. The government says in 2005, they haven't issued these numbers officially yet, but we heard from them, that 55% of students are now in classes of kindergarten to grade 3 are in classes of 20 or less. They say there are now 6,000 more elementary teachers in Ontario than they were when they were first elected. But they do say officially that in September of 2005, 70% of the students in Ontario were in smaller class sizes than they were when the government was elected. And I'm going to leave you with a final note here. This has absolutely nothing to do with my presentation, but it's my favorite education curriculum. Mrs. Hammond, I know you anywhere from Little Billy's portrait of you.